Music Podcasts.
Hi guys, welcome to Learn Kenyan Law with Wanjiku. I am your host, Wanjiku Mwangi. And for today's episode, we're going to be talking about siting and space for buildings and everything else that you need to know around it. And before we delve deeper into it, I'm going to let our guest introduce herself. Karibu sana.
Hi Wanjiku.
Hello.
Thank you for having me again on your podcast. And I'm happy to be here and to educate the people the construction industry.
Great. So being that our topic for today is about siting, which probably means like just sitting down and locating where you're going to make your building or construct your home or your offices. Tell us more about siting and just defining it for us.
Siting is pretty much just locating the spaces on the construction site.
Mm-hmm.
So for like our topic today, the title is space siting and space for buildings.
Yeah.
So these are basically specifications one needs when building. So these are specifications you require when creating spaces either adjacent to the building, adjacent to the property, or even outside the construction area.
Yeah.
How the spaces should be, spaces to be left, spaces that should be used for the flow of traffic, such likes.
Okay, so let's now talk about the specific specifications. Which are some of the specifications that you're talking about?
Okay, so some of the specifications are like, the, for example, the space in front of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
That is like the, in front of a building, maybe after the fence,
mm-hmm.
or before the fence, between the building, the fence, and outside, should be a minimum of 20 feet
mm-hmm.
from that, to create maybe space for circulation,
yeah.
spaces for walking, or spaces maybe to store some items outside the building.
Yeah.
Secondly, spaces.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the front, now to the side wings of the building. They should be 8 feet or more.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, I know there's some people who don't know, like, compared to what is the difference between feet, meters.
Yeah.
So in short, maybe I could tell you a foot is like roughly half a meter.
Okay.
Yeah. You could just do your calculations.
Yeah.
Then you'll know what exactly that distance means.
Yeah. So you've said like in front of a building, it's supposed to be around 20 feet.
20 feet. Yeah.
And then on the wings,
then
8 feet.
The side,
yeah.
8 feet.
Yeah. Okay.
Because on the sides, maybe there's not much movement.
True.
In the front.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
So there's the minimum measurement of a courtyard,
mm-hmm.
and a courtyard is like the space outside a building.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be at the front of the building or at the back of the building.
Yeah.
So it should not be less than 350 square feet,
mm-hmm.
and dimensions not less than 15 feet.
Mm-hmm. Meaning?
So, yani, 350 square feet is the minimum area that courtyard should have.
Mm-hmm.
A courtyard is mostly like, picture it like a square space.
Yeah, yeah.
So, 350 square feet should be the minimum mm-hmm. of that courtyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then we have a means of access.
Mm-hmm.
This is access to the property or to the building. So means of access could be like a street. See how when you access your building,
mm-hmm.
you don't just leave the road and,
yeah.
and enter. There should be at least like an exit. So there should be access to the building from the street or from the road you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have the external passage.
Mm-hmm.
These are passages between buildings in the same plot.
Mm-hmm.
So you see how sometimes you can have high-rise apartments in one area,
mm-hmm.
but you have like three different buildings.
Yeah.
You can have maybe block A, block B, block C.
Yeah.
So there should be spaces between those blocks.
Mm.
It's not like
they're close to each other. Yeah.
Yeah, so you should have a minimum of 4 feet in width and 7 feet in height.
Mm.
So to allow space for movement, maybe walking or
even circulation for air.
Yeah, circulation for air.
Yeah.
Or like maybe children. ride in a bike.
Yeah,
so there should be at least spaces between the buildings in that same plot.
Yeah, and you're talking about this and I'm just remembering how pipeline looks.
Right, yeah.
What?
Yeah, those sides of those populated, densely populated areas.
Yeah.
And it's not like this space. You find the buildings are like bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
Wall to wall.
Yeah.
There's no even space for like lighting.
Yeah.
Because one wall is here.
The next one is there.
1 meter, there's the others, they're even like, they're even, yani, close to each other, wall to wall. There's no space even. It's one wall.
They're sharing.
Yeah, they're co-sharing the wall.
Yeah. It's sad.
Yeah. That's the country we're living in.
Yeah, unfortunately.
In some areas of our Nairobi.
Yeah.
Then there's the service areas. So service areas are areas where when there's servicing to be done in that maybe residential area, for example, be repairs or water, maybe being fixed or brought, such things. So there should be service areas which are left in the property and they're approved areas.
Mm.
So you set aside an area where you know in case you need any services to take place, maybe garbage collection,
yes,
or anything like that, there's circulation in that,
yeah,
part of the plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have the building lines.
Mm-hmm.
So the county council may prescribe a building line for any street or part of a street.
Mm-hmm.
A person who shall erect a building other than a boundary wall, fence, or a gate nearer to the street than the building line shall be guilty of an offense. So a building line is, you see, when you get a property,
mm-hmm,
you're told your property should extend, maybe like, should be nine meters from the building line.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you see maybe especially gated communities where your house is, the, mm-hmm, space between your house and the fence.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah, just your house is here and the fence.
Yeah, yeah, it's next. Yeah,
it's next. So there's really a building line circulating around the property where and the building line should not be where the building is starting, it should be, mm-hmm, where the fence is starting.
Yeah.
So where the fence is starting, that's the building line. And if you build where the fence is, like your walling is coming up where the building line is,
mm-hmm,
then that is what they're calling an offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is well understood.
You've understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure some of these things you're thinking about them and you're wondering, there are not very many properties who have obeyed this.
Yeah.
Like for example, the building said in pipeline.
Yeah.
For sure, they are on the building lines.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, why is it happening?
Yeah.
Is it that there is no
I
enough
think it's
regulation?
Just poor management of upbringing of these properties.
Yeah.
Who are urban planning. And this is urban planning that is not only directed by the architects and engineers, but also the county government.
Yeah.
They have a big role to play in that.
For sure they do.
Yeah. So we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Then we have access to plots. Every plot shall be provided with at least one access road,
mm-hmm,
with a crossing of an open space and an approved culvert. So a good example of this would be from the highway. For,
mm-hmm,
example, the Wayaki Way or the Naivasha Nakuru Highway,
mm-hmm,
you find most of the properties there are not like they're not gated, like there's no a gate,
yeah,
like many properties inside.
Yeah.
You find it's everybody individually building their house,
yes,
on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Obviously away from where the road, like where the Kenha has put their stone.
Yeah.
So after that now, you find that's when people are starting to build their houses.
Yeah.
So because you find that the exit from there's just the road, and now you exit into your property, most of the time you find a bridge of water, so that there's no blockage into the area, because maybe you find that they're having maram roads.
Yeah.
So there's the exiting from the road, you enter into a culvert. And a culvert is that precast concrete hollow tube.
Yeah.
Put
it
in that.
Yeah.
Where the water passes under, and on top the cars can exit into their property.
Yeah.
Yes, and this culvert should be a minimum of 14 feet mm-hmm. in width.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fit either a small car or a truck even.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then there's the frontage, which is it's the front of a building.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're building next to a street, a busy street especially,
mm-hmm.
it should not be, like, you should leave a minimum space of 30 feet
mm-hmm.
on the street.
Mm-hmm.
To avoid
for who? Is it for the other people?
And to maybe avoid noise.
Yeah.
Directly, you know, when you're really directly close to the road, then you will hear everything, you will see
true.
Everything.
Yeah.
And also for entrance into the building
mm.
and exiting, to leave maybe space for pathways
yeah.
outside
yeah.
the fence of
yeah.
the building, such things. Yeah, so there should be that space left.
Mm.
Then we have the boundary walls. So maybe I can say, unless the county council otherwise agrees, the development of any plot shall include provisions of boundary walls, screen walls, or fences with approved material. So boundary walls are basically a fence, a stone fence or a green fence, or it could even be the gate, where the gate is. That's a boundary wall. So each property should have a boundary wall according to our laws, maybe.
Yeah.
Institution.
Yeah.
That's why you find in any property you go, the house is just not in an open area.
Mm.
It is where the property is, and surrounding it is the boundary
yeah.
wall, which also ensures safety.
True, for safety purposes, even for avoiding land grabbing issues.
Yeah. That's, in fact, when people are starting to build, the first thing that they put up is
a boundary wall.
Lest somebody comes and says, umekula shamba yangu.
Yeah, even for privacy purposes.
Yes, especially for privacy purposes.
Yeah.
But you find funny enough, like in countries like Norway,
yeah.
for example.
Yeah.
Because I think it's such a secure country, people are not here out to get
to
you
steal.
And to rob you. You find that you and your neighbors don't, like, there's just maybe one fence on the side.
Yeah.
But on the front, it's just a small gate.
And sometimes even the fence at the side
it's
is too
short.
Yeah.
It's quite short.
Yeah.
As compared to us in Kenya, some even it's so tall.
Taller than even the building.
You can't even see. You can only see the roof.
Yeah.
You can only see the roof. So I feel like some of these regulations
mm-hmm.
is because of just this thing. More safe.
Yeah.
Put it like that. Then maybe certain things like boundary walls wouldn't.
Yeah.
Necessity.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, because even, like, now my next point
mm-hmm.
is the height of boundary walls.
Mm-hmm.
So you find boundary walls, fences, or any other means of enclosure of residential plots shall not be erected to a greater height than 4 feet and 6 inches. If it is next to a street or in front of the building line of the main building, it should be 6 feet tall.
Hmm.
So you see, already 4 feet and 6 feet is quite
tall.
High.
Yeah.
Like it's a height, an average, let's say an average height of a man.
Yeah.
Maybe of like 5 foot 11 inches.
Yeah.
At a high Ziona.
Yeah.
Yani, you find that our boundary wall, even when you're in an estate,
it's
still
too
tall.
High. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
So those are some of just the specifications when putting up construction and building in Kenya.
Mm.
Yes, so I think maybe that could be it.
Yeah.
Maybe our last point would be waivers to the height.
Mm-hmm.
Buildings or boundary walls. Mm-hmm. Waivers are, in layman's language, is when you've been given leeway
mm-hmm.
to do something, as opposed to how it's naturally done.
Yeah.
That's when you're given a waiver.
Yeah.
So what I can say is where the ground on the line of the boundary wall has a slope, in the opinion of the county council, grounds of privacy, safety, and control, it is necessary or advisable to deviate from the heights.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're building, time you find that it's either you're going to put up columns to raise the building to the necessary height, but we're going to do what we call cut and fill
mm-hmm.
in the construction mm-hmm. industry, in the building industry, where the land is sloping maybe at a very high pitch, then you can fill in with soil
yeah.
at levels to where
you
the
want
land
it.
Started to slope.
Yeah.
So you see there you've already played with the height.
Yeah.
So that you have balanced height. So that instead of building your house maybe sloping staircases,
yeah.
the level heights in some areas.
Yeah. I get what you mean.
Yes.
So those specifications actually make sense.
Yes.
And I feel like these are specifications that are already in use. It's only that sometimes we don't understand why they are being done. But
yeah.
once we talk about them, we're like, oh, there's a need for this because of this. And probably this should happen to avoid this, like what we're saying in areas like pipeline. Those houses are too close to each other. And in case of a fire, you know, it's so easy for one
yes.
fire to move from that block to the That's next right. block. And like if we have like a space in the middle, even a firefighter is able to bring their truck and help,
yeah,
you know.
In fact, you even find such areas, you find that there's so much loss in terms of property and maybe lives.
Yeah.
Because even when the fire extinguisher comes, there's no place to park.
Yeah.
Or if there's place to park, they don't have access to reach maybe seventh floor.
Yeah.
Because there's fire and beyond in the apartments. A lot of damage has already been done.
Yeah, it has already happened.
Yeah.
And that also brings me to my next point, which is about lighting.
Yeah.
When we don't take considerations of these specifications, these are now houses where you find that the bulb is always on 24/7.
True, that is true.
So because I don't have a window that can bring in light, there is not even enough air.
There's no air circulation. Yeah, and you know, that's now a cost implication for... To be able to see somebody in broad daylight, you have to switch on your lights.
Yeah.
Does that even make sense?
It doesn't make sense, especially if we want us to go the green way, electricity, and rather use our sun.
Yes.
And most of those properties now don't even have the solar system, because now, you know, if they had solar and you had the electricity, the light, the bulb on,
yeah.
it would probably minimize the cost in half.
Yes.
But that's not the case.
Yeah, yeah. So you find most people... Especially in like the kitchens. I don't know, is it in the kitchen or in the bathroom?
Even in the sitting room.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Okay. But I feel like in the sitting room, the designer or the contractor
is a little bit lenient.
Tries to at least make the sitting room look
yeah.
a bit more
open.
Open.
Yeah.
Natural light coming in.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Yeah.
You have the sitting room and maybe one bedroom and that's it.
Yeah.
You go to the kitchen and. Total darkness, you have to switch on your light the whole day. And by the way, it's not even in apartments, no call pipeline.
Mm.
It's even in some apartments just here in Westlands.
Yeah.
Looking nice and luxurious, but your kitchen light is on the whole day.
Yeah, yeah. That's a very unfortunate case.
Yeah.
And I also feel like some of these specifications, like we've said, they are affected even by rents. You come to the urban area, you don't know anyone, so you want your privacy. You know, we don't have this communal kind of living as compared to if maybe home is Isiolo or Turukana. You know, we live communally there. So in such an area, even you wouldn't have an issue with this perimeter wall that we're talking about. But once you come to the city... or close to the urban areas, you see that people want now to extend it now to even the 6 feet that we're talking about,
yeah.
which is already extremely tall.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's also affected with our culture. But now my last concern when it comes to this siting and spaces for building is in terms of regulations. The other episode relates the construction industry.
Yes.
But we're still failing in some aspects of... regulating these things that we're talking about, especially in some specific areas. You know, there are some areas where these specifications are taken into considerations, but when you come to different areas, then that is not the case. So I'm wondering, what's the problem? How can we navigate around that?
Around following some of these regulations?
Yeah.
I think it should just come from an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
Think about yourself and how you want to live. And if not how you want to live, let's say if you're the developer of the area, maybe you're developing a property for other people, think about how you would like them to live
yeah.
in an organized manner, with approved areas for the courtyard, with approved areas for cycling. And you know, even if you have some of these spaces in your develop because things are flowing the way they should,
yeah,
you have adequate room for parking when there's designated parking. Obviously, probably it could be a bit more, include all those spaces and areas, but at least try and have half of them in your development. And also, you know, these bodies now that help with some of these regulations in the construction industry, they should also be quite adamant, because that's why you find some areas, they have stuck to the rule and they have good roads, they have wide enough roads for two cars to pass and everything is flowing in that area. But you find some areas, they started slowly drifting away from those rules. And that's where you find now there's now...
We lost it.
That's where they lost it. And they have seen one property has been allowed to...
So why not us?
Even us, we can be able to build apartments and we don't really have parking.
Yeah.
So the 20 apartments we have. So you find in that area, it started with one building, two buildings, three. By the time you're at 10 buildings, I feel like it's even hard for... It even now becomes hard for... the people who are supposed to be regulating in NEMA to start stopping all these constructions taking place, because the case would be so huge.
Yeah.
Because the reference point in this other 10 buildings.
True, so true.
And yet it should have been minimized at maybe the third building. So probably we still have a long way to go between developers and the county government members who help with this urban development in the country.
True. Yeah. And even as an individual, when you're going to search for a place to live and you find that all these specifications are not there, probably if you now make a stand and say, I will not live in a house that looks like this and like this, now the developer will have to go back to the drawing board and be like, the next time I'm building a house, I will ensure that this and this is happening.
Yeah, and you find maybe some people don't have the luxury to say, I'll go look for a place where I'll live, because also affordability.
Yeah, true.
So you find they settle for these small spaces, and the developer knows I have a target market for people who will not be able to afford, and that's just wrong thinking.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. You should be able to have legitimate ways to accommodate all these people in the different levels of life.
So thank you guys for listening to this episode, and in case you have any questions, feel free to inbox us, and be sure to listen to our next episode, which is going to be about the Land Surveyors Board and everything else that a surveyor should do. That's it. Bye.
Music Podcasts, the home of podcasts in Kenya.